Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. And the title of the message today is Take It, Lest You Fall. How long have you been a Christian? 1 year? 2 years? Or perhaps 10 years? 20 years, or even longer. Well, I pray that as you continue to serve the Lord here on this earth, as you get older and older in your Christian walk, you will also grow stronger and stronger in the faith. And that is what we see for Abraham too. He started off his journey of faith. God called him out from the Ur of the Chaldees, and then he sojourned in a strange land, the land of Canaan. And by this time, in Genesis chapter 20, he has already walked the faith for 24 years. How long have you been a Christian? 24 years, or some maybe even longer? But I think majority of us perhaps may be lesser than 24 years. And sometimes as we walk along this Christian journey here on earth, the longer we walk, the more complacent we get. When we are young, well, the Christian faith, when we first believe, well, we are so passionate about the Christian faith, and we take great care in how we walk before the Lord. We study the Bible very intensely. We are very full of fire for the service of the Lord. Oh, the Lord is so good to me. And we desire always to be in fellowship with Him. But as the years go by, we are not careful, and then sometimes we backslide away from Him. And in this case, Abraham, having walked 24 years, by and large, he has been very faithful unto the Lord. He has walked the journey of faith for 24 years. And yet, in this chapter, we see Abraham committing a sin, and one that could have potentially ransacked God's plan of salvation. If God had not intervened, we would have been without a Messiah even today. And not just that, but Abraham fell into the same sin which he had committed 24 years ago. Because in Genesis chapter 12, if you recall, right, we did not go through this passage, but for some of us who are familiar with the life of Abraham, we would have known that in Genesis chapter 12, we had this incident whereby Abraham had experienced a famine and he had to go into Egypt. And then the people of Egypt saw that Sarai was very beautiful, and then took her, and then Abraham lied to the people, or rather deceived the people, saying that, oh, this is my sister. And then later, somehow the Lord revealed to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh found out that she is the wife of Abraham, and then released Abraham. Abraham left Egypt with many riches, ill-gotten riches. And here in Genesis chapter 20, you expect after 24 years, Abraham, and by now he is called Abraham, would have learned that particular lesson. And yet we see in this chapter, he fell exactly into the same sin. What happened, Abraham? Shouldn't you have learned your lesson from 24 years ago? And yet it is the exact same sin. What happened? Not careful. Did not exercise the faith which God has given to him.
And then he fell.
Fell into sin. Oh yes, this does not mean that Abraham was not a believer. But because he failed to look to the Lord, and therefore we have this very sad incident, very shameful incident recorded for us in Genesis chapter 20. All the way until today, right, we are still reading about this shameful incident. Abraham wanted to delete from the Bible, also cannot. We are now studying, and then we are now reading, we are studying this, and we are exegeting from it, we are preaching from it. Poor Abraham. So better to learn from this example of Abraham now today rather than be too late. So let's examine how all these things happen. Take it lest he fall. And firstly, from the first two verses, we see how a compromise leads to a fall. And here in verse 1, it says here, and Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Abraham journeyed from thence. Now, where is this place thence? Where did Abraham journey from? Well, if you turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 18, you will realize that the Lord appeared unto Abraham unto the plains of Mamre. And how did the Lord appear? Well, the Lord appeared in the form of a theophany. You have the pre-incarnate Christ appearing, accompanied by as a man, and then appearing together with another two other men. And even before Genesis chapter 18, we have, just slightly before, the Lord appearing also unto Abram, and then assuring Abram that, look, now I am the Lord Almighty, be perfect, walk before me and be thou perfect. And then reassured him of the covenant, and then this time he told Abram, look, you are no longer going to be called Abram, you are going to be called Abraham. Abraham, no longer great father, but father of many nations. And he once again reiterated that he will establish the covenant of Abraham. And how will this covenant be established? It will be established through the seed from his own bowels. Well, during last time, if you want to have an heir, it can be done by three ways. Firstly, it was by a steward. And then Abraham before asked the Lord, well, is it through Eliezer, my chief steward? God says no. The other way is through a handmaid. Handmaid, that means one of the maids that belong unto you. And this maid was called Hagar. And then Abraham had a son, Ishmael, through Hagar. And then the Lord says, no, not through Hagar. And now the Lord revealed, it's by the third method, naturally, through Sarai. And later her name will be changed to Sarah here in Genesis chapter 17. What? You mean I'm so old? You mean a man of 100 years old and then the wife, 90 years old? Being so old, we are going to have a child? The Lord says yes. And in Genesis chapter 18, we see the Lord Jesus Christ appearing at the plain of Mamre. Abraham worshipped this man, went to prepare three measures of meal, bowed down to him, and then this theophany declared, oh, Sarah will also have a son. And then Sarah laughed in her heart. Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And this laughter by Sarah was laughing within herself. And so Sarah was very afraid. How did this person know? Firstly, he knows that I'm called Sarah. I have a change of name. Nobody else know. Why come this person know? Number two, I laugh within my heart. And this person No, that I laughed within my heart. And then she was very afraid. She denied and she said she laughed not. But this person insisted, yes, she did laugh. And then this man, again, reiterated the covenant, the promise which God made to Abraham. Yes, indeed, Sarah will have a child. And then in between, you have the account of Lot, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Genesis chapter 20. All this happened just shortly before this incident. Abraham received this confirmation of the promise. Confirmation that he will indeed have a son through Sarah. And now he is going to ruin everything. Going to ruin everything. From the plains of Mamre, where he received this confirmation of the covenant, he is going to travel toward the south country, into the southern part of the land of Canaan. He's going to dwell between Kadesh and Shur, and then sojourn in this city called Gerar. For 24 years, Abraham did not sojourn in the city. He was a nomad. He was living a life that is outside the cities, because the seed of Abraham is not supposed to mix together with other seeds. Must be a pure seed. And for 24 years, he kept away from the cities, and somehow, for a reason not stated in the scriptures, he's now ended up in this place called Gerar. Well, the last time in Genesis chapter 12, we know the reason. There was a famine. But no reason given here. Why? Well, maybe he missed the city life. Well, we don't know. And perhaps the scripture remains silent to tell us. Whatever reason it was not justified. Well, he was there. Just one step. Taste the city life. And here comes his fall. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Is this true? Yes, this is indeed true, because later on we read, she is indeed Abraham's half-sister. No problem. Nothing wrong with this statement. And yet, this is deception. And this is the worst kind of deception you can give. You tell the truth in order to mislead people, so that they will think wrongly about you. They will perceive something falsely. You see, for example, if Abraham was in a meeting together with his close friend, everybody knows Sarah very much. Everybody knows Sarah is the wife. And then he tells the people, look, Sarah is my sister. Nothing wrong, right? It's the truth. Right? It's the truth. Sarah is indeed her sister. But now he's telling to somebody who is a stranger, Abimelech. Like, this is the title given to many of the kings during that time. So this particular city, Gerar, had this king called Abimelech. And then he told this stranger, this is my sister. Emphasis, my sister she is. Clearly trying to give an impression that, look, this is, I have nothing to do with her besides being a sister. She's not my wife. A false impression. And because of that, Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Wow, not bad. Huh? By this time, Abraham 99 years old. No, she 89 years old. People also want. So next time, too bad she's not around today. Otherwise, the ladies can ask her, how did she keep herself so beautiful until the age of 89? Ladies, do you want to know? Maybe next time you get to heaven, you ask her, okay? By that time, I think everybody glorified body, all very beautiful, don't need to know the secret. But anyway, you can ask her, how do you keep yourself so beautiful until the age of 89? Not bad. Well, even this lady, 89 years old, this king, Abimelech, still wanted her. Must be very beautiful and pretty. Go and find out the secret. And so, took her, and very dangerous. Because once this king will have any relationship with her, no more Messiah, gone. No more nation of Israel. This is the consequence of Abraham's fall. very dire consequences. If there's no Messiah today, we are lost. We don't even need to have this session here in Tabernacle. We can close shop. We can prepare for hell and brimstone later on in our life. No hope in this world. God had to intervene. And how did God intervene? God intervened by coming to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Wow, so he came to Abimelech especially in a dream by night and then told him, "Look, you are now a dead man." And then Abimelech said unto the Lord, because he had not come near her, I had not had any relationship yet with her. I don't know anything. I am innocent, Lord. Lord, will thou also slay a righteous nation? Well, righteous in with regards to only this particular incident, right? Innocent with regard to this particular incident. Of course, this is not saying that Abimelech is righteous true and true, not saying that Abimelech was innocent, right, in everything in his life, but with regard to this particular incident, Abimelech really had no knowledge that this Sarah was the wife of Abraham. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Did he not say to me, she is my sister? Look, this particular person, which you say, right, which you say I have taken the wife, this particular person, he himself deceived me. He himself, he is the one. The fault lies with him. He says that she is my sister. And look, even she herself also played her part. So the deception was complete, both by Abraham and by Sarah. She herself, look, if the guy say is one thing, if the lady confess that she is the wife, okay, then it's my fault. But even the lady herself play her part. The lady herself also say that, oh, this Abraham is my brother. So, knowing nothing, being ignorant in the integrity of my heart, in the simplicity of my heart, in my sincerity of my heart and innocency of my hands, have I done this? Well, does that mean that Abimelech have not sinned? Well, some will say, oh, because he does not know anything, therefore he has not sinned. Well, the scripture tells us, even if we are ignorant of sinning against the Lord, right, it is still sin. And how did Abimelech sin against the Lord in this case? Because he has done something that can potentially go against God's plan. God's plan of salvation. And that by itself is sin. Whether he knows anything about it or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is that he is on the way of wrecking God's plan. And that is sin by itself. A sin of ignorance. And if you look at the book of Leviticus chapter 4, if I'm not wrong. Let's see, Leviticus chapter 4. Right, Leviticus chapter 4, right? You have all the offerings for the sins of ignorance, right? So even later on, you will realize in the old, during the time of Moses, right, there is also this offering that is being offered for the sins of ignorance. You did secret sins in your life, you don't know, later it's revealed unto you, it's still considered a sin, you have to repent from it. So Abimelech still made a sin, even though he has sinned out of ignorance. He still have to do something about it. If not, the whole nation finished. Whole nation will be finished. And we know how the Lord is punishing this particular nation, because we read in verse 18, the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. Right, if this had carried on, right, what will happen is that nobody in the nation could have given birth. Or rather, nobody in the house of Abimelech would have given birth. The whole family of Abimelech would have perished. The Lord had fast closed. Wow, not only just closed, but fast closed. Put a permanent seal upon their wombs. Unless the Lord release it, they will forever not bear children. And this is a sure way of killing a family, isn't it? A sure way of killing a nation. That is why in Singapore they are so desperate to have all the foreigners coming, isn't it? Because our child rate, birth rate is so low. If carry on, the nation will die, isn't it? That's why you have they keep inviting people to immigrate to Singapore to fill up the population number. So last time used to be stop at 2. Now more children, the better. Last time I just talked to one of Tabernacle members here. She was sharing last time she gave birth, she had to pay a penalty. How much? I forgot. Is it 100 or 1,000? I can't remember. Last time you had to pay. Now you give birth to more? The government very happy. They say, wow, very good. I give you money just to encourage you to have more children. Why? Because if Singapore doesn't have more children, Singapore will die. So in this particular case, indeed, if Abimelech had not done anything about it, his entire household will be finished. So God said to him, yeah, I know. I know you did this in the integrity of your heart. You don't know anything about this incident. So therefore, I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Right, so now I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I am not going to permit you to touch this particular lady. She is important in my plan of salvation. She's important in my plan. Therefore, I want you to return her, the man, his wife. Why? For he is a prophet. Prophet. And here the word prophet has this understanding of Abraham being a witness for the Lord, a spokesman for the Lord. And why did God purposely say that Abraham is a prophet here? He is telling Abimelech this. Look, I have a relationship with Abraham. He is a believer. I have a relationship with him. He can pray for you. He can intercede on behalf for you. And everything will be returned back to normal. Only he can pray the prayer of intercession because he is a believer. I have a relationship with him. He is my prophet. He is my witness. You, Abimelech, you do not have this kind of relationship with me. You are an unbeliever. Whatever you pray, I will not hear you. And that is true even for today, right? A person is an unbeliever. The only prayer, right, which God will hear from an unbeliever is the prayer of salvation. So Abimelech, no matter how he pray and plead, no count. Only Abraham. And it is through Abraham in which the nation will be spared. This particular city of Gerar will be spared. So now therefore return the man, his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, if you do not restore her, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Well, same strength as in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Dying, thou shalt die. Absolutely certain. No escape from it. And all that are dying. And so how? Abimelech rose up early in the morning, called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. And now Abimelech is going to speak to Abraham. And what a shame, because this Gentile king, Gentile, not a believer. Or should not say Gentile, because that time don't have Gentile yet, no Israel, so no Gentile. Unbelieving king. Unbelieving king is going to rebuke this believer. It's just like, for example, us today. Right? Us today, we imagine the shame if you go outside and then you are not careful about your testimony and in the end you are rebuked by an unbeliever, a Gentile. That is exactly what is happening here. Right, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee? What have I done anything against you? I did nothing wrong against you, isn't it? That thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done this unto me that ought not to be done. And here the term, that ought not to be done, has the same strength as that of the Ten Commandments. You should not be doing these things. You should not be lying to me. You should not be bearing false witness. Why are you bearing false witness? And in the end, you cause me, an unbeliever, to sin. Should you not, as a witness of the Lord, bear a good testimony for him? Why is your witness so horrible? And here we have an unbeliever rebuking this believer. All because Abraham was not careful. 24 years of war. Still make the same mistake. Shameful rebuke. Shameful rebuke. And look how Abraham answered, okay? Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Look at how Abraham answered. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. Eh? He thought. Okay, he said to himself, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And they will slay me for my wife's sake. He just assumed that, oh, you see, all the nations in the land of Canaan, they are sinful nations, and therefore if I go to this particular place will have no fear of God. And then I will surely die. So he assumed, and then he take matters into his own hands, not trusting that the Lord will protect him. And then therefore he lied. He used deception. And this is what we call situational ethics, isn't it? Based on situation. I look at this particular situation, it looks so horrible. Hey, no way I can get out of it. Hey, a better liar so that I can get out of it. And sad to say, some preachers, some pastors today are preaching these things. Recently, I went to a particular bookstore and then I took up a book on the Ten Commandments. And it's published by quite a reformed publishing company, right? And this particular reform company published this series on the Ten Commandments. And then you flip inside and then you read. And there they say that telling lies in certain situations is okay. It is okay to tell a white lie. I was so surprised. Okay to tell a white lie. White lie, what kind of white lie? Oh, you know, if some kind of good can come out to eat, you know, some kind of good can come out from your lie, it's okay to tell. Example, Rahab. Example, the nursing mothers of Egypt. They say, oh, they tell lies. Well, firstly, I do not believe that the nursing mothers of Egypt told a lie. That particular situation whereby they say, oh, the Hebrew mothers gave birth on themselves, you know, and then they just walk away. If you go to certain countries in the world, third countries in the world, some of them, they still do this. They just give birth and then walk. They don't need a nursing mother like how we have in KK hospital today. They don't need. And then when it comes to Rahab, yes, indeed, Rahab tell a lie. But was Rahab rewarded for a lie? Was that called a reward? And was that reward really because of a lie? No, because the Bible made it very clear that Rahab was saved not because of a lie, but because she feared the Lord and because she had faith in God. God did not say what she did was correct. Situational ethics. And then they come out many books on ethics and say, oh, in certain situations it's okay to lie, in certain situations it's not okay to lie. No, we must tell the truth always. It doesn't mean that when situation is dangerous, like what Abraham did, we can just tell a lie and then we expect ourselves to do something that is honorable before the Lord. No, it's not honorable. Don't ever think of telling a falsehood or use deception. It is not acceptable. If we are going to practice such deception in our life, in the end, we may really end up like Abraham. We will really be rebuked. It is a folly to do so. So be very careful. These books are out there in the market today. The publisher, Banner of Truth Trust. Banner of Truth Trust. Must have slipped through the editor's hands. Here Abraham said, he simply assumed the fear of God is not in this place. In the end, who fear God more? Who fear God more? Abimelech feared God more than Abraham did. Abraham didn't care. Didn't care about God at all. Just simply took matters into his own hands. Abimelech, after hearing God in a dream, Wow, I was so scared. Wow, everybody feared. Even the servant also feared. No fear of God. He assumed. And he assumed that God couldn't help him. And as though this is not enough, look at what Abraham said in verse 12. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. In other words, she is my half-sister who became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me, right, to wander from my father's house, that I say unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. In other words, this was a collusion, not just in Genesis chapter 20. It's not that they met with this situation and then they say that, oh, let us tell a deception now. Right from the very beginning, even when the Lord called Abraham and Sarah out of the Ur of the Chaldees, they have already colluded that if such a situation happened, this is what they will say. They will use deception. A collusion for 24 years. And in between, remember, right from the very beginning, you already have the situation in Genesis chapter 12 where it backfired. And yet, the collusion still stays. They have not learned their lesson. And we are talking about believers. We are talking about Abraham, the father of faith. What about us? Is it the same with us? Oh, better learn from this example. We better take heed of our lives. Make sure. No such falsehood, no such ill testimony is present in our lives. We must take very good care in our walk of faith. If this is possible for Abraham, who walked 24 years as the father of faith, surely it is very much possible for us. And one ill testimony just like this bears such a bad testimony for the Lord, isn't it? And shameful rebuke. Don't let that happen. And so Abimelech said unto him, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. Well, this really is very, very sarcastic. Oh, you assume, you say that the land is not safe, right? Look, very safe. Now this land is all here. Just dwell where you want. Dwell, emphasis on the word dwell. You can dwell safely anywhere you want. Go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. Just dwell, just dwell. And then he said to Sarah, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Wow. Behold, I have given not thy husband. Okay, take note. Not thy husband, but thy brother. Well, purposely use the word thy brother. Okay, since you don't want to acknowledge that he is your husband, I am going to call him your brother. Your brother. What a shame. Being given this kind of sarcasm here, down here. And I'm going to give you 1,000 pieces of silver along together with all the oxen, men servants, and women servants, which he gave unto Abraham as a form of sacrifice back to the Lord. Not reward, okay? Take note. Right? And then given all them, all these things, and behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. In other words, right, he is a shame unto you. When you cover your eyes, something is very shameful, isn't it? Well, he is a covering unto the eyes. He is a shame unto you. How sad that Abraham, who is the father of faith, is being humiliated in such a fashion down here by an unbelieving king. And this reminder continues to stay with him throughout his own life. If you observe this passage, again, you will notice some similarity between this passage and Genesis chapter 12. What happened? Right? Abimelech took sheep, took oxen, took men servant, took woman servant, gave them to Abraham, and together with 1,000 pieces of silver. So again, because of his deception, he is once again made made rich again. Well, even richer now. Last time rich already in Egypt, you have learned the lesson. Now made rich again. Exactly the same situation. Last time he see the riches, it ought to be a reminder of his sin last time. Now he is going to be reminded again of his sin again by an increase of riches, this time from another king called Abimelech. As though Abraham was not rich enough, now he's going to be extended or expanded in terms of riches. And he looks at his riches one more time. Oh, this expansion of riches again by my ill gain. Don't let that happen. Very painful lesson. But we thank God that although this thing happened, the relationship between God and Abraham still stays, isn't it? And despite what Abraham had done, look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. God still hears the prayer of Abraham. Abraham still fulfilled the function of a prophet, interceding for Abimelech. Still served the Lord. Was still his representative here on earth. Still his servant. Oh, how gracious the Lord is to Abraham. Many a times when we serve, it's not because we are very faithful, isn't it? If we look carefully at our lives, how often we have failed the Lord in this area or that area. And yet, God still used us despite our faults. So God still says, look, so and so, you still can serve me. I know you have done this. Repent of your sin. Serve me. And yet, sometimes when we serve the Lord, after a period of success, we are so big-headed, right? The whole head blows. Wow, everything is so good. Wow, you organize a particular function. Everybody say, wow, it's the most well-organized function ever held in a church. You teach and you preach the word of God, everybody say they are blessed. And then more and more people come and hear you. And you lead a fellowship group. And then the youth are edified and then built up, and then many of the youth are now faithful and serving the Lord. And then after all these successes get into our head, we think we are somebody before the Lord, and then the Lord have to send something like that to poof, burst our balloon, return back to normal. And then after return back to normal, we still walk around, we say, wow, I'm still very good. All these things happen because of me. Not true. We are only serving. The only fact that we have not been struck dead is because the Lord is very merciful and gracious. Despite what we have done, we have stumbled so many people so many times, the Lord still uses us. Take heed of our walk. Take heed lest you fall. This is Abraham, 24 years in the walk of faith. Better to learn from this passage here and not commit the same error than to commit the same error and before it is too late, you get rebuked, you get shamed by unbelievers sometimes, and then suddenly you remember, oh, Genesis chapter 20, I should have learned from this passage. At that time, too late, the shame is already done. Don't let that happen. Learn from today. Stay faithful to the Lord all the way, and it's possible. It's possible. Continue to read God's word. Pray that the Lord will continue to work in your lives. Be humble. Submit to the leading and guidance of God's word. Look toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will indeed bear a good testimony for Him. So may the Lord help us learn from the life of Abraham, the father of faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, how we thank Thee for the passage which thou hast given to us for our admonishment, for our learning. Help us to take heed how we walk each day of our lives. So, Father, we give thee praise for thy word, and we pray that you will continue to help us grow in our knowledge of the truth. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.